I'm going to speak on a subject which is likely to win me more enemies than friends, more downvotes than upvotes. Nevertheless, it should be spoken. It's a very touchy subject. The subject is that Srila Prabhupada was not equal to women. It's very touchy because in the Western world at the present time, there is a widely held opinion. It's held as if it's an axiomatic fact that women throughout the centuries have been mistreated and exploited by men, and that this historical anomaly should be rectified, and that anyone who doesn't agree to accept this, it can only be because they're a misogynist, which means someone who hates women as a class, which is, if you try to take an objective perspective on this, it's very hard to have an objective perspective because it's become so emotionally loaded. But to think that women and men are not equal, it's not a logical step to go from there to declare that if you think like that, you hate women. There could be reasons for thinking like that, as has been widely accepted in most of the world throughout most of history. And although history is just like Karl Marx gave a new perspective on history, that is a history of class struggle. So and the feminist perspective on history is that it's a history of men exploiting women. But hey, guess what? Men have been exploiting men. You come to class struggle. That's one possible perspective. The transcendental perspective that we learn from the Vedic literature, which we in the Western world learn from Srila Prabhupada, is that everyone in this material world, we're all jerks. We're all trying to exploit others on any grounds. We're all trying to get the best out of each other. We're trying for our own misconceived understanding of what is for our benefit. Srila Prabhupada didn't subscribe to this idea that men and women should be treated equally in all respects. From the transcendental perspective, yes, we're all spirit souls. We're all spiritual living beings. From that perspective, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihasini shuni chaivashvapage cha pandita samadarshinaha. Lord Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita the equal vision of someone who's actually learned. He sees the learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, who's just at the opposite end of the social spectrum from the pure-hearted brahmana. He sees them all equal in the sense that they're all intrinsically spiritual beings, part and parcel of Krishna. but they are to be treated separately. Just like if we think that, okay, so a tiger is also a living being, so let me embrace the tiger, and then you become the tiger's breakfast. It's not a wise policy. We may think that the mosquitoes, they're also living beings, so let them just bite me, and then I'll get dengue and chikungunya and malaria and all that. We should take some, if we are to protect this body, because shariram adyam dharma sadhanam, shariram adyam kalu dharma sadhanam, the human body is required to practice dharma and fulfill the purpose of human life. So we should take precaution against dangerous creatures attacking us. We don't treat them in the same way. We don't treat a thief and a murderer, a known murderer who happens to be in our vicinity, we don't treat him in the same way as we would treat our own mother. So the different ways of treating, even though we know that they're all part and parcel of Krishna, but we treat them differently. Now, am I equating women with mosquitoes and murderers? No, but the point is to be understood that we get different, you see, it's a completely different outlook from the, you only have one life, while we're here, we should enjoy ourselves to the fullest extent. It's a completely different outlook when we understand we have different bodies according to our previous activities and desires. Karmana deva netrena jantur deho bapateye. We get different bodies according to our previous activities, according to our previous desires, under the direction of the Supreme Lord and the demigods. So we get a certain kind of situation, a certain kind of body, a certain kind of mentality goes with it, a certain kind of duty goes with it. The woman's body has the duty and the inherent mentality for and the inherent ability to produce children. Woman's role is largely defined by that. Now, in the modern age, they say, no, we don't have children, there's a headache having children, and we should have a career and this and that. But the low fertility rates means disaster for a civilization. So anyway, there are so many points to be discussed, but basically, persons who are deeply infected by what we can call and what actually is feminism, they won't even begin to hear this. They can't even begin to hear this. Whereas people who are raised in more sane cultures, and the insanity of feminism is more and more pervasive in the world, but people who are born in sane cultures, including the women, can understand, yeah, I'm born in a woman's body, I have to act like a woman. It's not a big philosophical discussion for them. Anyway, I'm going to read this. I want to make that point that even within our ISKCON, there's a mythology promoted that even though Srila Prabhupada, within his books, he made various what might seem to people who don't know the background, what might seem to be disparaging remarks about women. Well, actually, you could say they are, because if you take women, the role they have to play in society is, motherly. In that sense, they're glorified, the motherly role. But also, there are other aspects to the psyche of women in general, which goes with the body, and people don't want to accept this, but women who are raised in a culture which is more in contact with reality as it is, instead of the imagined narrative of feminism, they can understand. They don't get upset. And Srila Prabhupada, it was not by any means the crux of his teachings, but he considered it important enough to speak on it regularly, seeing it as a major misunderstanding in the modern world that needs to be rectified by establishing varnashram dharma within society. So it's a mythology which has been promoted in ISKCON that although Srila Prabhupada made these disparaging statements, which at the present time, according to the feminist narrative, which is everywhere, including in the minds of people growing up under the present educational system, is that women should be equal in all respects. And although Prabhupada made, so within ISKCON, the mythology promoted is that although Srila Prabhupada, in his writings, he was disparaging about women, but in his practical behavior, he was equal and gave them all opportunities in all respects, which is not true. It's a mythology promoted, and just like people raised in the modern American or British or educational system, they believe that men and women are equal in all respects, and they believe such crazy things that gender has nothing to do with biology. You can be born with a male body and become a female, get it converted to a female or vice versa, and all kinds of things which are insane, actually. When their civilization is destroyed by this, and maybe out of the embers, someone will rise up and look back and say how insane it is. But similar to how people in the broader atheistic, materialistic society believe this rubbish. So similarly within ISKCON at the present time, which has been infected by this narrative, which Srila Prabhupada definitely didn't promote, they say that, well, Srila Prabhupada treated women equally. Yeah, he treated them equally in the sense he gave them all equal chance to become pure devotees of Krishna, but he did not treat them equally, as I will now relate from a talk by Tamal Krishna Goswami, an extract from a talk he gave on the 24th of August 2000 in Hungary. He said, "I will give you some instances to show you that Prabhupada was not equal to women. I was sitting with Prabhupada at Sevenbury Place, our first temple in London. He told me that if Jamuna Devi, who was the wife of the temple president, had been a man, it would have been she that would have been the temple president. In other words, she was more qualified than her husband, but because she was a woman, he could not make her the temple president. Later on, I was handed three slips of paper in which the names of the different persons were listed when Prabhupada was preparing to form his first GBC. They finally found these three pieces of papers in the archives. They are in Prabhupada's own handwriting on backs of envelopes, and on the first two, he lists, on one of them, he lists three women, on one he lists two women, and in the third list that I got, he lists only 11 men. And when he formed the GBC, there were no women. Now, he wouldn't allow women to be temple president, so how could he allow women to be GBC? I'm just showing you how he was not equal. Another way he was not equal is, after a while, very rarely did women accompany him on a walk. Now, the women claim that this is because of the sannyasis. I don't know which sannyasis they are talking about, but some of the sannyasis, they say, We're really pushing the women away and not letting them have an equal right. There may be some truth to that, but Prabhupada allowed it. Prabhupada was not so unaware of the fact that there were no women on the walk. He could have said, where is so-and-so? Where is so-and-so? And he did used to say, where is so-and-so? Where is so-and-so? In other words, he used, yeah. But that so-and-so was always a sannyasi or a senior man, so I don't think that Prabhupada was equal to all. Now, Tamal Krishna Goswami continues, I will show you how he was equal to all, because when the movement was just beginning, he showed far more equality to the women when there were no sannyasis in the movement. He had a woman secretary, Govinda Dasi. It is very interesting how he got rid of her. Very interesting, because he did not want Govinda Dasi to realize that he wanted to change the secretary. So he dictated a letter to me and had me write the letter and post it separately to get a male secretary, but his first secretary was a woman secretary. He had ladies cooking for him, and the women used to come walking with him just as much as the men. Jamuna used to lead the kirtans. Jamuna and Himavati used to speak at public lectures. But gradually, as the movement became more established, he tried to establish what you may call Vedic culture, and that is where he started to make these distinctions. In his mind, he made no distinction. One time in 1977, Prabhupada asked me, where is, I think it was Upendra, perhaps. I said, he is cooking in the kitchen. So Prabhupada said, who else is in the kitchen? And I said, Shruti Rupa, the wife of Abhiram. Prabhupada said, oh, that is not very good that they are in the same room together. He said, I am above all these things now. I am an old man, but you are all young sannyasis. You must be very careful. So he did these things to protect the sannyas ashram and in general uphold Vedic etiquette. So yeah, Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce Varnashram. That's the end of the quote from Tamal Krishna Goswami. Srila Prabhupada did want to introduce Varnashram Dharma. He became increasingly insistent on this as he saw his disciples, many of them, break the regulative principle of no illicit sex by leaving their wives or leaving their husbands many times, or having illicit sex, falling down from sannyas. Srila Prabhupada wanted to revive the old Vedic Varnashram culture, not only for this reason, but this is a major reason, because if we can't follow the basic principles of human life, then where's the question of going up to the highest levels of God consciousness? If we're still on the animalistic platform. So the Vedic culture, there are separate roles for men and separate roles for women. And in general, the role of women is not equal to that of men. And that's just the point I want to make in this little talk. That's all. It's part of a much bigger narrative and a much bigger discussion. Largely, it can't be discussed. No one. It's not open for discussion. The GBC of ISKCON has decided that women and men should be treated equally in all respects, which was not what Prabhupada instituted or not what the Vedic culture is. But anyway, it's not open to discussion. But I'm just pointing out that it's not what Prabhupada instituted. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah dante nidhaya chunakam padhyo nipatya kritvacha kakushatameda ambravim Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandu charne kurutana raga. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukharo na vayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvivilutama natamana.